Kia ora everyone, I'm Lorna Johnson. You're listening to Making Palmy Home on Manawatu Two Peoples Radio. And my guest this morning is Ahmed Obaid. So good morning, Ahmed. How are you?
Good, thank you, Lorna. Good morning.
So would you like to introduce yourself and just tell a few people a little bit about yourself?
Sure, thank you, Lorna. my name is Ahmed. I am originally from Jordan, and I have come to Palmy last year, early 2020, just before the pandemic happened. But that is not my first time in Palmerston North. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have two stories about making Palmy home.
Yeah.
I can maybe tell you very briefly about my first story. It was when I was 2 years old, back in the early 80s. I arrived here in Palmerston North with my mom and my dad. And my father was just starting his PhD studies at Massey University. And I don't remember a lot, but I do have some good memories as a child growing up in Palmerston North.
That's quite interesting, because not many people would have that dual experience of coming here as a child and then also coming here as an adult.
So. Yes, it's quite an interesting perspective for myself as well, because, you know, when you're a child, you have some childhood experiences and growing up, and it's mostly play, I guess, and learning a lot. But it's a bit different when I come, when you come to a new place, when you have your family of your own.
Yes, yeah.
It's a bit different. But when I was here in the 80s with my parents, and I do remember a little bit. Mostly my memories are of certain playgrounds and parks around the city, which, I mean, they have changed somehow, yeah. But I do, when I go anywhere nowadays, I do have some of that memory come back to me. And one thing was looking at the square when I came last year. I do remember the square having kind of small hills.
That's right, on them. Yes, yeah.
But now there isn't any.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened there, but
there is a story behind that.
Okay. Yeah. So it's things like that, but it's definitely a different perspective when I came back as an adult with my own family. But in between, I kind of lived in several countries. I mostly lived in Jordan, where my extended family is. I also finished my high school and my final years of college was also in Jordan.
Right.
My idea or my thoughts were always that once I finish college, I'm going to come back to New Zealand.
Okay.
But I didn't.
How old were you when you left New Zealand for the first time?
So when I left New Zealand for the first time, I was 12.
Right. So you had you had some good memories of New Zealand then.
I do. Have some good memories, and we were living in Palmerston North all the time. So
right.
We didn't move. We didn't live anywhere else in New Zealand. I mean, I always thought, you know, I'm coming back.
Yeah.
This is not the end, you know. I'm not just going back to Jordan. And, so I've always thought about it. But I tried when I finished high school. I tried, you know, very hardly. And I did get the chance to come back to New Zealand. But I spent a year and a half in Christchurch.
Right.
So I went to university there. And I was starting, you know, a degree. But then my parents thought, you know, it's best if he was with us. We really want him to get his degree from university.
Right.
So they asked me to come back. And then I went to university in Jordan and I finished. And I thought, you know, that this is it. I'm coming back to New Zealand now. But I was lucky to start a job in Jordan. And then from there, it was one job after the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of liked it. I loved what I did. I started working in international development organizations. I started working with refugees in Jordan. And if you know Jordan geographically, it kind of sits in the middle between a lot of conflicts.
Yes, that's right.
And so over the years, Jordan has received many refugees.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of work for international organizations and national organizations as well. And I was one of those people who worked in that field.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah.
And then I guess I stayed many, many years, but then I met my wife. So, and we got married 10 years ago in Jordan. She's a translator, so she also had a job with an international organization. So we were pretty happy, I guess, being there. But I think things started changing in terms of future plans when we had our daughter, Natalie. And that was 6 years ago. We started realizing that we are now going to be paying a lot for education, and we're going to be paying a lot for medical assistance if needed, you know. And savings were really not easy to have at the time. So you could have been, you know, living off really well, but then these other things that you really don't think about that start becoming really important. So then I thought, this is the time we need to change something about our family, you know. And I thought, I'm going to take some risks here, and I'm going to be very adventurous. And I tried my luck at doing a business in the UAE a few years ago. And pretty much my business was importing honey from New Zealand, Manuka honey specifically, and selling it there in the UAE. So I did about 2 years.
Had you moved to the UAE at this point, or was this from Jordan that you were doing?
No, actually, I did move to the UAE, kind of moved, because my family stayed in Jordan, and I had to go and visit them back and forth. But actually, my parents were living there. They're actually there at the moment. So they kind of welcomed me over to stay with them to start a business, really. And I tried my luck at that. So my brother, who's been living in New Zealand in the past 12 years, had helped me to kind of get some honey from over, you know, near, kind of, I guess, in the Manawatu region. He managed to kind of send me some batches of honey.
So he was your New Zealand contact.
He was. And then I just started that. It went well, I guess, the first year. It was very promising, but then things changed because I had thought that it would be really good to the point I can invite my daughter and my wife to join me and live there. But that wasn't the case. It was a bit tough to kind of sustain a small business in a relatively expensive country. So I had to kind of let go of things. And I thought, you know, I'll go back to Jordan, and I have friends, I have my network, I can find a job. And that was end of 2018. I went back to Jordan, and then I couldn't find a job. It was very difficult. I have a good network of friends and people, and I think it was just not the right time, and I couldn't find a job. And so I was really out of a job for about a year.
Oh, gosh, that must have been a stressful time.
It was pretty stressful, yes. Not really a good experience at all. Luckily, my wife was still working, and she had a good job. So she managed to kind of keep our family going.
But tough times, though, trying to negotiate.
It was definitely very stressful for me. And for the family as well. And it's just not a good experience that anyone would want to go through. I guess at the end of 2019, my brother, who's living here in New Zealand, he came to visit with his family. And I guess he kind of like saw how things were going on with me. And I guess he just offered, and he said, you know, it's never too late to kind of restart. He said it's not easy in New Zealand to find a good job if you've not been living there. But, you know, what can you do? You can come here and you can find a decent job. You can start any kind of job first and then try to find the job that you like, basically, afterwards. And I guess that kind of convinced me a little bit.
Encouraged me more.
It encouraged me, I guess. And it was pretty much a quick discussion that I had with my wife. And within 2 weeks, I had booked my ticket to come to Palmerston North.
Okay.
And I kind of didn't really think about it at the time, but when I actually got on the plane, it kind of hit me that I haven't been in New Zealand for the past 18 years. And when I left New Zealand, I was only a student at university in Christchurch for a year and a half. And before that, all my experience or memories, if you'd like to say, were as a child.
Yeah.
So now I'm coming to New Zealand, back to New Zealand in a different kind of circumstance.
Mm.
So it hit me really when I boarded the plane.
Were you starting to be a bit concerned at that point?
I did get concerned. And I was like, okay, the best I can do is I have to arrive with an open mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not think about anything in the past, all the good experiences and the skills and whatever you want to say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's a very heavy baggage to carry and then come into a new space and trying to find something that is suitable to your experiences.
Yeah.
When I arrived here, I it was totally new for me. So I did have in the back of my mind that I grew up here as a kid, but that's different.
Yeah.
So to me, it was as if I'm coming to a new country totally.
It was like coming to someone totally new. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Yes, that was a very new thing for me. But luckily, you know, I had a brother who has been in Palmerston North.
Yeah.
And he's already working. He has established his own, you know, his family's there. And the first thing I did, I started applying for jobs right away.
Right.
I didn't even wait. So the next day I arrived, the next day I started applying online. But then everyone around me, and I think this is really important to note here, people around me, they have different experiences coming to New Zealand and either for study or for work or as refugees. And majority of them were telling me, you don't have New Zealand experience, so don't count on getting a good job from the very first time.
Right.
So lower your standards, lower your expectations, lower everything, and go for it. And I said, okay, well, I was applying for jobs kind of similar to my experience.
Yes, yeah.
And no one was really replying to me. No one was really, you know, communicating. So I thought, okay, that's the case.
Mm.
What am I going to do now? So that was like kind of a week in Palmerston North. And then I thought, okay, I should go to the plaza.
Mm-hmm.
There is a restaurant in the food court who the owner of the restaurant happens to be an old friend of my dad.
Right.
And, you know, he saw me and he knew that I came and, you know, he welcomed me here and he was happy to see me. So maybe he's got something for me that I can start with. And I was lucky that he offered me something there. But he said, you have to do some training first because, you know, you can't just start selling sandwiches without knowing how to make them. So I said, okay, I'm ready to do any training that you want me to do. And he said, it will take you 2 days of training. I said, okay. And said, then I'll give you a few hours to work.
Yeah.
I said, thank you. He started the 2 days of training. But, you know, mind you, all of this was happening while I was also applying for jobs.
Yeah.
And the first day I was in the training at the restaurant, at the mall, at the plaza, I got a call from the city council. And they asked me to come in for an interview. It was for a job that I had applied for. Has to do with youth.
Right. Yeah.
So it was something very relevant to my experience previously. And I thought this is a good chance. I knew it was an entry-level job, and I didn't mind at all. I was happy to even have something relevant to my experience. So I said, yes, this is a good opportunity. Let's go for that interview. And I told the friend of my father, I said, I'm with you. I'm not going to abandon you. But I really have to go through this process. And if I get a job, I'm more likely to leave and go for that job because it's what I do.
And it was your skills and experience would contribute to that.
Exactly. But I'm also very grateful for this man to even offer me something like this. And so I went for the interview and then I guess I did well. And then I was asked for another interview and I think I also did well in that. And then I was offered a job.
Wow.
At the city council. And
that's a great success story.
It is. I have to say, though, I do feel that I'm lucky, you know, in this. So, I mean, I do know that I have good experience and I have something that I can contribute to, but it's also luck, I guess.
I
don't want to take
it for
granted. I never take it for granted. I was definitely lucky to kind of find a job like this, a really good job, in a very short time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess that's my, you know, the first month of being in Palmerston North was really good to me, I guess. You know, I found it very well.
Well, that's good. It's good to have a nice positive story because, you know, as you know, people often do struggle with that first job in New Zealand. So that was early 2020, wasn't it?
Yes.
So tell us how those first few months went, because you were just here before the pandemic lockdown and all the rest of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, I mean, I felt really good at the beginning. You know, I'm lucky to find a job and now I'm going to start settling in. And then I would, within a few months, I would have my wife and my daughter join me.
Yeah.
That was the plan. But then we got hit by COVID, really. Mm. The whole world changed. And that was right after I started work. So about a little over a month of being in my new job, we went into lockdown. And that changed everything for me because all my plans had been set really to kind of welcome my family. And I said, you know, I'll settle into my job, I'll find a home to live in, and then they'll join me and they'll be here with me. But of course, with the lockdown and everything that's happening around the world, it was very clear that that's not going to happen anytime soon. And I guess that's a struggle.
Yeah.
That is a very stressful thought. And it was very stressful, the time. I had to... how do I put it? I had to be at work or doing work, let's say, during the day, but I also had to be up most of the nights to be able to talk to my family.
Because of the time difference.
Because of the time difference, obviously. And because the pandemic around the world, different countries have different experiences. And so some countries were hit really badly.
That's
and
right,
one of them was Jordan.
Right.
And so almost every night I was up online talking with the family and how they had to kind of move from our home in Jordan to her family's home, my wife's family's home, to be with them because they knew that this lockdown is going to be a long period of time and it wouldn't be easy for my wife and daughter to stay at home alone for all this time. So she had moved to her family's place. And then I had to kind of follow all the updates and all the news that's happening in Jordan and all the cases, the rising number of cases. And obviously, when I looked at what's happening here in New Zealand and how we are dealing with this in New Zealand and what's happening overseas, I felt, you know, This is the right place to be.
Yeah.
But I need my family to be with me.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And so just around that time, we had... so the idea was my wife needed to put in an application for a visa because she needed a visa to come to New Zealand. And around that time, she did put in an application and she paid the fees. But nothing came back because obviously things have changed because of the COVID pandemic. And so I kept waiting and we all were waiting for a few months. But then I remember in around June, around June, I called the immigration and the call center and they picked up and I said, I need my wife and my daughter to come here because we're apart and I'm really worried about them. This is very stressful. And is there something that I can do? Anything that I can do? And then I remember the person talking to me looked into the application and he asked me a question. He's like, your daughter is is a New Zealand citizen, right? And I said, yeah, she is. And then he said, well, you can apply for a exception, something, I think, I remember it's called something like a critical purpose visa.
Oh, that's it, yeah. Yes, it is, yeah.
And then your daughter would be able to come here, but because she's only five, she would need a legal guardian, which is her mom, to accompany her. And then that way your wife can join as well. And I said, thank you. I'm going to do that right away.
Yeah.
And so by July, we had put in an application for that exemption, or I don't know what it's called, expression of interest for that critical purpose visa. And luckily that time, things started rolling quicker than, you know, than it was before. And we got the reply, and then she was invited to apply, because you still need to apply, even though you might be approved, but you need to put in an application. So she had to put in an application another time. And that also was processed. And by the time, I think it was late September, she got a visa.
Right.
And she was allowed to travel. And then it was a matter of us finding the ticket and MIQ, so a place in the quarantine for them. So we managed to kind of do that, and it was end of November when they were able to arrive in New Zealand and go into lockdown, into their quarantine for 2 weeks. So I guess, I mean, it was 11 months I was away, so I literally left home in Jordan on the 2nd of January in 2020, and then I was able to see my daughter and my wife when I picked them up in Auckland. It was the 10th of December 2020, so it was almost a year.
So a very stressful start to trying to settle in a new place for
it you. Was, yes, it was. So, and then also, you know, during that time, because it was very uncertain, I didn't know what I should be doing here in terms of settling in.
Yeah.
So I was, in the beginning, staying in a small studio room at the hub here in Palmerston North near the square. And it was easy for me because I walked to work every day. Yeah. And it was just me, so I wouldn't mind, you know, having a small place. It was literally a room, and it wasn't the greatest option, but it was the most efficient for me at the time. But I didn't know, should I be looking for a place? Because I didn't know when my family would join. Should I be, should I be out there looking for something?
Yeah, because you didn't know how long it could possibly take.
I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know. It was very uncertain.
So it was an extra level of uncertainty for you in trying to settle, really.
Yes, it was. And to be very honest, I didn't know if how things are going to turn out with this with this pandemic. So I even had an in my mind that there is also a chance if things go really bad that I might have to leave New Zealand and go and be with my family.
Yeah.
If that turns bad, you know. So all these uncertainties doesn't really make it easy to kind of settle, I guess, and feel that, you know, you have a new
That this is your home. So how is it now for you? How has it changed?
It's changed a lot. It's changed dramatically, I guess, because it's much better.
Right.
My family is here. We're happy. We're living in Palmerston North. I guess another important thing to say is that being in Palmerston North makes it easier to settle. I have lived in the past in big cities. Never lived in a small city as an adult with my family before. So Palmerston North is the smallest as a family I've been. As a child, I have lived in Palmerston North, but it's different when you're an adult.
Yes, that's right.
So it makes it easier to settle in Palmerston North because when you're in a big city, everything is much more expensive. I guess the biggest challenge everywhere in New Zealand is housing and finding a home to live in. And so, again, I know it's challenging in Palmerston North just as it it is everywhere else, but it might be a bit better the situation than bigger cities.
Yes. Yeah.
That made it easier being in a smaller city. For my wife and my daughter, it also was easier for them to settle in and learn quickly about the city.
Yeah.
It's a flat city, so you can walk.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
And it's a grid, so you can't get lost.
And yeah. It's not easy. Yeah, it's, yeah. It's easy. Sorry, not to get lost at all. Yeah. So it's I think it's a good thing, and being here, because when I first arrived last year in January, again, you know, I'm here, I'm looking for a job, so I didn't know if I would be finding a job elsewhere, not just in Palmerston North.
Yeah.
So now thinking about that, I think that I'm also lucky to find the job in Palmerston North and not elsewhere, because it's easy to start.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's easy. It's easier to start compared to other cities, I guess.
Yeah, and I think it's probably the perfect size. It's big enough, but it's not too big.
Yes.
And so you can easily get to know people and find your way around. But but there's enough, you know, going on that you can be part of something bigger, I suppose.
I agree with that, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Right, well, that is probably a good place for us to stop. Time is running out on us, but thank you so much for coming in today. Appreciate
it.
Very interesting story of coming to Palmerston North twice, which is excellent. And so, people, you've been listening to Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson, and you can catch the podcast at npr.nz/show/Making Palmy Home. Cheerio.